Yeah, dude, it's everything you would think. It's a, you know, to one of the weird kind of transitions that we have to make emotionally is that, like, we're not underdogs anymore, you know? But for the last 2 weeks, we still were. And yeah, dude, it was like fucking Hoosiers, you know? Like, it was just absolutely incredible. It was just, it was one of the, it's a once in a lifetime experience. And in fact, most people don't even get it once in a lifetime. And then, yeah, I'm, you know, I was, there was a lot of tears and a lot of excitement. And then Monday morning here at the factory, you know, we had all hands meeting. We got 57 of us now that work here. And all of us, you know, got together and just a release, just a full on fucking just release of tension and emotion. And like, it's not just me, man. Like my employees, every single person in this building is like legitimately passionate about what they do. Like real deal fucking passionate. And they live and die by every putt the same way I do. It was incredible. You know, it was an incredible morning. We all got together about 9:30 in the morning, which was, you know, they had actually that morning gotten in there at 4 a.m. because their fucking AC is broken and it's 100 degrees here. And so they got in early to, you know, to work while it was still cooler. And it was incredible. You know, we had this wonderful meeting and lots of hugging and high-fiving and screaming and hooting and hollering. And then we had to get back to work, and the work part is pretty fucking hard.
Put another log on the fire. Nobody here is getting tired.
Welcome to the Fire Pit with Matt Ginella.
There you have it. The end. As Sam Hahn articulated in that hook, Lab Golf is back to work. And in addition to Adam Scott, guys like Will Zalatoris, Ben Ahn, Camilo Villegas, and Grayson Murray are all using their putters now. Meanwhile, Lucas Glover is number 35 in what's left of the so-called official world golf rankings. As we approach the Masters of 2024, Glover has slipped back to 163rd in strokes gained putting, 115th in putting average, and 129th in putts per round. But he's not yipping, and no one can ever take away career wins number 5 and 6. As I said in the first episode, I had no idea that the first call to Hahn in August of 2023 would lead to an 8-part, now 9-part series on a putter company. But if you've been following along, it's a story that is so much more than just about a putter. For me, this was Sam Hahn's story. And Bill Pressey's story. It's a Bob Duncan, Matt Holm, Stuart Smith, Tim Wilkinson, Liam Bedford, Vaughn Taylor, Jeff Sluman, Kelly Slater, Adam Scott, Brett Rumford, Mac Barnhart, Michael Sims, Jason Kuhn, and of course, a Lucas Glover story. As with all of my podcasts, at the end, I like to get reflections from the protagonist, share some of the best comments and quotes that didn't make the main narrative, which is what I'm going to do in this episode. But before we get to more thoughts on Glover, the putter, the idea of letting go of control to gain control, 100-foot waves in Ireland, and final comments from a Navy SEAL, another thank you to Dormy Workshop for sponsoring this podcast. We have a lot more coming in our partnership with the Canadian-based company that specializes in fine leather goods, which will include events that we're calling bonfires. More on that and those in an upcoming Fire Drill podcast, which will drop Masters Week. But in the meantime, go to dormyworkshop.com and use promo code FIREPIT15 for 15% off your next purchase of a head cover, putter cover, duffel bag, and more. On Lucas Glover's accomplishments of 2023, here's a final reflection from Jeff Sluman. For a guy like that who's been grinding so hard or hits it so good, and to keep your card for that long and putt that bad, I mean, that's a small miracle in itself. I think everybody felt good for him.
As a professional golfer, and especially people that know Lucas, we didn't feel good about it. We felt great for him, you know? And if you've ever had some trials and tribulations with the putter, which almost to a man, every professional golfer has gone through it, whether it's for a week, a month, a year, or decades. That's this feeling of hope. You can come back and putt like a kid, you know, because I don't think kids ever 10 years old, 15, 20, you know, 8-year-olds, they don't care about the consequences of a miss because they're going to make the next one, right? And I think every psychologist would tell you, putt like a kid with no cares in the world and nothing about the miss that's going to bother you. So, it brought hope to every professional golfer, and I thought that was great.
Here's Vaughn Taylor.
When you see a guy like Lucas Glover and you know what he's gone through, and then to go back to back wins like that out of like virtually nowhere. What are your thoughts on that?
That's kind of like what I was hoping to happen at Reno, that it was going to like blow up into this thing. And that's kind of like that dream you have. And that's why you never quit, because you always hope something's going to click. And the putter is obviously, the most important club in the bag, I believe. And Lucas, that's all, you know, Lucas' whole game looks great. I mean, he looks like he's swinging well too, but you know, he just needed something like that to click for him. And, kudos for him to try so many different things. And I didn't realize it was so bad. I hadn't seen some of those videos of him, and you know, those are tough. Like, I've never seen anyone strike one out of the heel that far on that short one at on 18. I just was like, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. But you know, the more I've read about it, it sounds, you know, it was a lot of mental stuff going on. But to also break down those barriers with, you know, a different style putter, and then to be a playoff event, it wasn't like it was just back-to-back regular weeks. I mean, that was, and he led the whole entire way, and the cameras are on him just for 8 days straight or something. I mean, it's just like, and just to see him continuously roll it well, and it's pretty cool to see the transformation just all the way around. But mentally, that's got to be, you know, I can't imagine what he feels like inside. You know, it's just what you dream of to break through and clear some hurdles. It's pretty cool.
And Lucas Glover.
I don't know a ton about the lab technology because I didn't want to, because I tried to use technology to beat it also. And so I've kind of shied away from, I just found out what the lie was the loft was a couple of weeks back. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know too much. I didn't want any of that to clog up anything that was working. So I kind of ran away from the tech stuff. But understanding that it works is enough for me. And, you know, obviously I'm pretty much pretty good proof that it does.
Glover's friend and manager, Mac Barnhart.
You can depend on Lucas being Lucas, and that's a wonderful thing in this world, as you know. So good or bad or ugly, like it's you can depend on him, and that's what's made it fun. But you know, he deserves this. He's a fighter, man. I mean, people are like, what can he do? I think he can win the Grand Slam. He's never putted great. He can putt great. And he's got a team around him now. We know that works. We know we got – I mean, people go, you can't say that. He's this age. I'm like, he told me he could have done what he did. And I know this cat. I mean, like, he's not scared. I know he's been in the gym almost every day since he's gotten home. I talked to Colby about his workouts. His workouts are going good. He went to New York for Fashion Week. Let him have a week off. That's great, you know. But he's back in the gym. I mean, he's back. I mean, maybe not getting picked for the Ryder Cup might add just a little more incentive, and that's fine too. We'll take that, right?
Back to Matt Holm, one of the original salesmen of the directed force design, on the business impact of Glover's back-to-backs.
Sam said that from January to July of 2023, they had sold about 160 broom labs.
Right.
After Lucas wins back to back. They sold like 2,600 in 1 month.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah, it's when it's validated by, you know, people want to see it. They want to see what they're using it. And it's got a different story. It's not like just different colors or weights. There's a complete different set of principles being used. And that's it's pretty impressive to be able to patent a mathematical formula. I don't know if Bill got that done, but he has the patent approved. I've seen it. And if anybody else makes a putter that does what this putter does, they're going to hear from Bill's lawyers, I'm sure, and Sam's. So it does. It's amazing. It's going to be in the golf house someday. I mean, I think some of the original stuff, it'll be some that kind of a historic thing.
I wanted to revisit and share a few of the perspectives on the idea of, quote, letting go of control to gain control or take control, which, again, started with Brett Rumford, the Australian short game guru. Here's Sam Hahn.
You know, like my tagline is like, you know, in the past, you have to keep a face square. And with us, all you have to do is let a face stay square. And his whole thing is you have to let go of control to gain control. That's how he describes, you know, what the feeling is. And a lot of the high level pros, the feedback we get is they describe this very kind of vague feeling, you know, in along kind of similar to what we talked about before about, you know, just kind of how the putter head disappears. That's a good thing. That's when you know you're doing it right. When it kind of feels vague and free, that's when you know the putter's face is squared up to the plane that you're putting it on. It's when you start feeling resistance. That's when you know you're off.
Here's Brett Rumford.
And for me, it's all about, with the lab product, it's all about, for me, it's like giving up control to take control. And I think so many people, you know, whether it's a personality or otherwise, try to, you know, control the face, control the stroke. And they get so caught up in the stroke and the plan and everything else, which is all good and well. You do your work, but, and you know, the holy grail is having it perfectly arced and have your face to path and all the rest of it. But there's got to be a point where you just got to go play. And you just got to go, you just got to just give up all the controlling element, and you just got to just let it go.
Rumford was not only one of the hardest guys to track down for this series, he was also well worth the wait and one of my favorite voices in this story. Not only his walking analogy.
Mastery comes down to mastering the movement, and then everything switches off. So everything deactivates. So when you walk, you've mastered the art of walking, yes? So if I were to ask you, what do you activate in your legs when you walk? Truthfully, just walk. Anyone, just get out of your couch, whoever's listening to this right now, and just walk. And walk a little bit faster when I say that, and walk a little bit faster again, and tell me what's being activated. You couldn't tell me. You wouldn't know.
But especially as it related to that idea of letting go of control, and as he put it, to take control, the essence of the lie, angle, and balance technology. And I loved the story Rumford shared about the experience he had when he had to make a tricky putt to win a tournament with the lab putter. As he described it, his, quote, light bulb moment.
All I can remember was when I hit it, I just went, my God, that was the best putt I think I've ever hit. But I think it was more the sense of the feeling, my heightened sense of emotion that really connected me to this stroking this putt. But it was just amazing in that situation where normally you might feel a little bit of the tension or a little bit of the grab or a little bit of that after the hit, you feel like that little bit of deacceleration or that, not, I wouldn't use the word apprehension, but it's just, it is what it is. It's just nerves and the rest. But this thing just flowed. And it just went off in my hands. And I just looked up and I just went, wow, that's got to be the purest putt I think I've ever hit. Subsequently, it went in. But irrespective of that, I just find, I mean, that feeling and memory will last with me for a long while, because I say to Sam, if I had have had this technology, maybe when I first turned pro, who knows how many would have won, maybe with the broomstick. I putted very well with the broomstick, but it's quite amazing technology. It's pretty cool. And you just got to experience it, but you have to give it some time too, because so many people don't like the feeling of no control. They don't like the feeling of like giving up that feeling of where the face is or the awareness of it. And it's just, I love the internal feeling where everything just switches off through here rather than trying to feel this tension. I just love the flow of it. And you get into the flow after a while, but it takes time.
And then Bill Pressey on Rumford's summary of how to utilize the technology.
I think people let go of their fears. The hardest thing, that even though you know, like it's a fear. You'd think it'd be easy to let go of, right? But fear in golf is the hardest thing by far. The scar tissue in and the memories that exist and lurk in your subconscious somewhere during that backstroke, they tend to open the door. And that is the fear. There's, you know what fear comes from? I'll tell you, it comes from missing, right? Comes from missing. You know what you miss is torque. And unless you practice enough or you've got this innate ability to know this particular golf club, just like a good driver or like a good wedge that you have, you know it. You know what it's going to do. But when you take away the torque, you can take away the fear and start reprogramming. And then, you know, if you miss putts, it's a misread or you made a poor stroke. It wasn't the yips, though. The yips is there's no bigger fear.
I've had a lot of great conversations with Bill Pressey after our original interview. He has been listening to the podcast as he rides his bike, much like a lot of his close friends. I love that he's getting the attention and credit that he and his revealer deserves. Stuart Smith is one of those friends. First, on letting go of control to gain control, and then on Bill Pressey's back nine of life.
That saying resonates pretty strong in golf anyway, but probably even more so with this putter. When you put this putter in their revealer and you see that that putter isn't going to move when you swing it on its plane, it doesn't budge. It's amazing.
What a story, you know, literally from rags to what would be deemed riches, right? From out of the trunk of his car to now being able to kind of, you know, take a breath and think about what's next and, you know, think about what's next in life and keep this positive, you know, path to a back nine that looks like it's going to be a lot more fun than maybe the front nine of his life. Would you agree with all that?
I would concur. Yeah. He's, you know, when you see him now, I mean, he's happy. You can tell he's happy within himself. And I know he's finally overcome a lot of some of the struggles that he's had. But, you know, the one thing that he's never lost is the passion for learning, the passion for his self-belief in his product. Maybe he's had to overcome some self-belief in himself, but certainly just the self to be validated in the golf world like he has now with Flyingle Balance is a pretty amazing accomplishment. And I think he's maybe finally recognizing the impact that he has created through everyone else's disbelief early, right? People are finally now starting to believe him. You wonder why a face balance putter is so great. I still wonder myself, you know, we still wonder why was face balance such a big thing? Lyingle balance is just, it's the next step.
Another guy I enjoyed getting to know was Liam Bedford, the guy who built Glover's original lab putter.
The physics of the putter is trying to stay square. If you put the putter in motion, it is trying to square itself. So if you, the only way that you can manipulate the putter is with tight grip pressure, and your hands are the only things that can move the putter. So you can either open the face or close the face with your hands. If you don't do that with your hands, the ball will start on its starting line. So if you give up control by taking loose grip pressure and just allowing the product to do what it's doing, the ball will start on its starting line. And so if you can find your speed with super light grip pressure and just let the putter swing, like, you will start it on your starting line. And if you have a good speed, you're giving yourself a better chance. The people that we have a hard time with are the guys that typically death grip it and then want to hit putts and like guide putts in, because they're managing torque. The reason they have tight grip pressure is because the putter wants to twist in their face because of where the weight is in the putter. So they, for a guy with a blade, the blade's trying to do this on the way back and then this on the way through. So the guys typically are holding it off and then trying to hit little draw putts on the way through. With our stuff, you don't need to. You can just literally get there and just make a stroke, and the face is going to stay square to the arc.
Again, I've known Mac Barnhart for over 30 years. He has always been a spiritual guy.
Let go of control to gain control as it relates to both putting and life. Do you subscribe to that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I say. I didn't know as much about the technology as I probably should have until Lucas got it. And then I started researching and calling people and, you know, Ari Cunningham on tour is kind of my go-to tech guy. And, you know, just get ideas from people about this putter. You know, after Luke, it didn't matter what I thought about it anyhow. Lucas wanted it. He's getting it. But then you start reading about it and you're like, man, that's different stuff, right? That's a lot further along than Karsten did with the answer, right? I mean, I think, and it makes sense, right? I mean, we went up in technology so much and all the other equipment, the golf balls, the drivers, right? And the shafts even. There hasn't been there's different pretty putters, but there hasn't been a lot of technology change in the putting, look at it. So that was kind of interesting. And obviously they must work. I think they're selling a lot of them right now. If they're not, they're in trouble.
Adam Beach of My Golf Spy on the same subject.
Right, it goes back to what I was saying with those other putters. You have to do some work with those, whereas this, you don't have to. So we've been trained to not let go, to hold on, to, you know, you watch people putt and they're like, oh, you know, they're like trying to hold on and keep their face square. And I agree with that. You got to let go to not only in life, but with putting to have it work real well.
And no one is more spiritual than Glover's friend, Michael Sims. His laughs were some of my favorite moments from this series.
That's a life lesson. A lot of times when we're holding on too tight, you know, things don't go the way that they should. But the second we let go, things start to flow. It just all happened. It all happened right when it was supposed to. As Mac always said to me, I'll never forget this, on a putting green in 2007, I made a comment about something and he looked at me and he goes, Michael, you're always right where you need to be, bud. And it may not be comfortable sometimes, and it may not be where you want to be, but you're always right where you need to be. And we don't know why, you just are. I was like, all right, damn it. You're fucking right.
I certainly enjoyed talking golf and life with Adam Scott, forever one of my favorites to watch and root for. Here he is on letting go of control to gain control.
Does that ring true to you? Is that something that makes sense to you?
Yeah, I think absolutely it does. I think, you know, I try and do that with my entire game, but we're so professional in a sense. We think of everything all the time. We're trying to be so good at every little part of it. And when it comes to performing and shooting the lowest score, you know, you want to have all the stuff under control that you've thought about and then forget it and execute and just play and just let go. And that's what I'm trying to do generally. So I think that does ring true. I probably didn't have the internal fights that Rummy had in his head with the putter. I was just like, yeah, this swing's really good. Yeah, this is getting a consistent roll. I don't need to find necessarily fault with it. How about I just use this thing and make more putts? And I was enjoying that end of it. And I've really enjoyed the relationship with Sam and his team and being able to give them feedback and them being receptive to that feedback and in developing the Mez and the Mez Max and, you know, getting to a place where I feel like I'm putting with as good a putter as I can putt with.
It's possible none of this becomes such an incredible story if it wasn't for Tim Wilkinson being an early adopter and getting the number of starts Han needed to get the credential that got him inside the ropes and on the practice putting greens of tour events. Here's Wilkinson on the same subject.
You know, putting, when you're putting poorly, you're always trying to control the stroke as much as you can, and the strike and speed, and rather than being more athletic and yeah, just letting your instincts take over. And I think that putter with the technology that it has can allow you to do that for sure.
And then there's Kelly Slater, not only one of the greatest athletes of my generation, again, 11 world championships in surfing, which is mind-boggling to anyone who knows anything about surfing and sports in general. Here he is on letting go of control to gain control.
It makes sense because, like I was saying, the revealer reveals all. And when you see somebody take, if somebody puts your favorite putter in there you've had forever, and the toe starts flipping around and it you know, it doesn't hit square, you realize that you have to try and control your putter to make it work, as opposed to letting it just do its job and you're just along for the ride. Putting's so freaking hard already. Why make it any harder? Like, you want something that's just going to make it easier and easier. I'm surprised maybe the RNA will try to outlaw it, you know? It's the new Sam Snead putting between your feet.
Can't be that easy. We have to insist it's hard. Yeah, we're gonna roll back.
It's gotta be harder than it's gotta be way harder. You've had no three putts in three rounds.
Yeah, we're rolling back the ball and we're outlawing good putters. That's it. That's it. When I heard you were involved, or that you had an impact, you know, he talks about all these magic moments that have happened, and you using it is one of the magic moments, which then leads to Adam, which then leads to Lucas, which is how this whole chain of like good vibes happens that leads to where they are now. So it's kind of a
It's cool. I feel fortunate to you know, be in there and be friends with these guys, because I'm, you know, I'm a golf fan, and obviously I love the game, I love the history, I love watching. I love seeing the competition. It's in my blood, and you know, to be some part of that story is really fun. And same thing. I was playing with Charles Howell in Florida, and Charles saw me stroking the ball, and he's like, "Oh, you know, they had mentioned it to me or contacted me." He's like, "I think I'm going to check that out again." I think it's in his bag now. I'm not sure, but last year it was. So
I mean,
it's fun. Those are good memories, cherished memories for me in my golf life, you know.
It's really cool. Well, thank you for taking the time to do this. I've talked to Chewy. I've mentioned it to him. I'll just mention it to you now, but the 22 the pipeline story, the buzzer beater, is a story that I would love to try and tell, not only through your words, but with all the observers and all the people that were a part of that, almost like as a cherry on what's been your just like insane career. But like, I would love to tell a story about that. You know, I'm, you know, I know just enough about surfing with my family and the involvement in Hawaii and the surfing, but someday I may come back to you and try to see if I can pin you down on telling that story. So,
yeah, that'd be awesome. I was in Namibia last week, about a week and a half ago, surfing, and there was this incredible swell that everyone around the world heard about. So about 150 people probably flew to this place to go surf. And I'm walking up the beach. So it's about a mile long point break. So you got to rot. You surf about a mile down, you walk back up, and the wind's blowing about 20, 30 miles an hour. And you got to walk against the wind, and the sand is like almost like quicksand there, the way that you just kind of sink in the sand. So it's, I mean, walking that thing, everyone's walking between sort of 5 times and 12, 15 times a day if you're really like in good shape. And the amount of energy it uses is just crazy. It's just, you're so beat afterwards. But anyways, I'm walking back up the beach at one point, and I'm walking next to this guy, and we get to chatting, and he's Australian. And, he goes, "Hey man, I got to confess something to you. We're putting our leashes on. We're about to jump back in the water." He goes, "I got to confess something to you. When you won Pipeline, I started crying, man." And he goes, "I've never met you." He goes, "But I'm about the same age, and it just meant so much to me." And, I've heard that from so many people, like it felt really special to a lot of people. And that's, you know, another reason why it was the best win of my career. And, you know, there's a pretty good chance it'll be my last win, and it's at my favorite event, and you know, the place I as a kid, I dreamt of doing well at, and even just being able to surf and not be scared.
Well, Kelly, thanks for this. Enjoy your Friday. Play well. I'm headed up to the goat with the little guy and meeting up with Simsy and Ashy. And I'm sure I'll see you up there nice. At some point soon.
Yeah. Say Ash, say hi to Ash for me. I'm just at I'm in that traffic right before Oceanside heading south.
Oh, brutal. That's brutal. Brutal.
Friday traffic, dude. This thing is brutal right here.
No, I know. I'm dreading it, but I got to get up there. I got to hit some balls. We got monthly medal tomorrow, so I got to make sure I'm ready for tomorrow. I just came back from 30 days
nice.
In Ireland. 30 days in Ireland, which is, by the way, they get some big ass swells out there. Have you ever surfed the Ireland swell?
Hey, I've been there once, but it wasn't giant. It was just nice and clean. But Mulligmore on the West Coast is as big and intense as any wave in the world. It's a friend of mine was up there about a decade ago, just chasing waves, a big wave guy. And he showed me, he did an article in Surfer's Journal and showed me a couple of pictures himself, but he said it was the biggest he's ever seen. And he's surfed all the biggest waves around the world. And he said it was by far the biggest waves he'd ever seen. He was sure it was 100 feet plus. And judging by, he had pictures of this wave that it's a big right on an outer reef, and normally it kind of just feathers and it can only be let's say it's like 50, 60 feet on a big day. And he said, just in comparison, this day was breaking top to bottom barrels outside of where he normally sees it break at like 60 feet. And so the depth of water and the intensity in the ocean, like the amount of energy they were seeing, he said, just like nothing he's ever seen. Like you get in a situation out there, you're never going to get found. But he just said the 100-foot waves are out there for sure. I saw them.
If interested, there's a cool little digital short called Cold Comforts, in which Peter Klein talks to Conor McGuire about surfing the biggest waves of Ireland at Mallaghmore, which is in County Sligo, only 25 minutes from the County Sligo Golf Club, Ross's Point. I couldn't help myself. Here's a short clip of McGuire on surfing those waves.
I guess what's so unique about Ireland is the island itself is made up of rock formations that are millions of years old, and that's kind of what makes our slabs and our other points and reefs so perfect and amazing on their day. Also our dramatic weather that's carved the coastline and on different setups is just, yeah, it really adds to it, and it makes it all the more dramatic. And when the light does come out, it's always ethereal and a bit magic. And yeah, there's a lot of different things that make Ireland so special.
On the subject of overcoming fears, we'll wrap all of this with Jason Kuhn, the former Navy SEAL sniper who helped guide Glover into overcoming the yips and back into the winner's circle.
Are you still working with Lucas per se? I mean, are you guys still sort of having sessions?
Off and on. It's just more like kind of check-in and guidance here and there when he feels appropriate. All of the information that I have to deliver to him has been delivered. So when I work with players, we record the meetings and they're uploaded to a folder for them to go back and review and keep. Hmm. And the idea behind that's another thing with sports psychology as well, is one of my frustrations is I'm here to train them from point A to point B, okay, to a point where they don't need me anymore. That's the idea behind it. And then just pass me off to someone else. If they need me around forever in terms of, you know, just all that. Now, some of them, yeah, hey, it would never hurt to have a performance coach around providing guidance and whatever else, okay? But in terms of learning what they need to learn and being able to apply it on the field, if they need me around forever, then I'm not doing my job properly. You know, if a corporate group hires me on retainer to consult for them and teach human performance to their people, and they got to keep me around forever, then I'm not getting that information delivered and effectively applied for them. I'm not doing my job properly. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea behind it, is to take a player from point A to point B to the point where they don't really need me anymore. And I think that's pretty much where he's at.
I'm going to go through that wall you're sitting in front of right now.
Yeah, that's what we do. This is the world I live in. And you know, for athletes that may be listening, you know, we're still breaking in into the game. I've got my colleague, Sean Kanagi, who was my mentor in the SEAL teams, 23 years in, one of the most respected special operators in the community. And we are breaking this down. So there's Stonewall Solutions, there's yipsfree.com, and then Sean and I are running parabellumperformance.com. And it's, you know, we're not going to take everyone. It's going to be exclusive for serious people who seriously want to win. And train them up, and you know, from there, perhaps start bringing in more highly experienced operators to learn the curriculum and develop it with these guys, both their education and application. We're going to take them to the golf course, and we're going to do things that are very untraditional and unorthodox. We're going to simulate the environment of chaos as much as we possibly can, to where golfing in a match should seem simple and easy. Train like you fight, as well as other times where it's just nice and easy learning the material. And that's what we want to do. We want to take this to the next level. You know, one, because we enjoy it and we understand it, but two, to get these athletes what they deserve in terms of this. Because I'm tired of seeing. These aren't my words, but a pro golfer sat down with me a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about his experiences and working with sports psychology. And he said, "Man, what I've experienced so far and the money I've spent on it should be considered malpractice." And I'm just tired of hearing stories like that. Let's get these guys what they need with people who know what they're doing, who have applied the skills they're asking others to apply, and just win everything, you know?
What would it cost me to have you just sort of follow me around every day and just be like my security guard? You could be my mental coach, my life coach. You can help me like just overcome anything and everything. What does that cost to have you just be 7 days a week?
Yeah, well, you know, we're not super cheap, but we're very effective at what we do. And I think that the results people get through what we provide to them, they end up coming out on exponentially on top, you know? So, yeah, we can certainly talk about that for sure.
Well, you've certainly helped me in this process of telling what I think is a very compelling story that goes, and it's beyond Lucas, but it certainly culminates with Lucas as it relates to this narrative. And you taking the time and sharing all this with me, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all that you've done for our country and for us and our peace and safety, but also, you know, what you're continuing to do to help these people. It's really, really, it's really powerful stuff. So thank you. Pleasure meeting you. And I hope to actually get to shake your hand someday. So.
Yeah, it's great to meet you as well. I'm going to start getting around to some of those golf courses and, you know, meeting some folks and learning the game better. Probably start playing some golf. I've got some assets now to help, you know, some of the best in the world to teach me how to play. So I should probably take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But the good folks out there like yourself and those telling the story and allowing me to have a platform to get this information out there will no doubt get to some athletes that whose careers will be saved and or enhanced through it, through their efforts, not mine, but in contribute, you know, in the contributions that I make. And so thank you as well.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and hope to cross paths soon.
Yes, sir.
See you, bye. Buddy.
Put another log on the fire. Nobody here is getting tired.